5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's time for our weekly visit with the one and only Bodie Hume. Had a great game last night and a win over Idaho State. 20 points for Bodie. Bodie joins us each and every week, brought to you in part by First Advantage. Those guys are diehard Bears fans. I mean, they were there last night, I'm sure. They're at front row, front and center. Jeff and Matt and their lovely families love supporting everything UNC and, of course, what you've done in your whole career, man. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. Glad to be here again.
How's the eye doing? Are you...
I'm good, yeah. Just taking a few bumps and bruises, you know, lots of games that we've been playing, just trying to take care of the body. Everything seems to be healthy, so no complaints.
I mean, were you guys exhausted after last night?
Very exhausted. I you could kind of tell the atmosphere, like we were ready to play and we were super excited to get back at them. But even Idaho State, you could tell like everyone was kind of gassed. They were all running on E, and ultimately that game was decided by who was just going to play a little bit tougher and who wanted to win this game.
It is a gritty type of performance, and I suppose it's, I mean, you get what? You get today and tomorrow, and you'll be back at it on Thursday at some big games. The Eastern Washington game's interesting because they're kind of on the heels right now, and I know locking up that top five spot is important, so we'll get to that. But, we were talking to Jerry earlier, Coor. I mean, he was feeling it, too. I mean, I know all of you guys were feeling it. Stacking up all these games, though. So what's it mean to you to be able to pull that one out? Of course, the Weber State game as well.
Both of those games are huge for us, especially going on to that road trip and starting with Idaho State and not coming out with a win. And then going to Weber and winning our second game ever there in like 80 years or something is just a huge positive for us and a huge motivation booster. And then obviously we had to win last night because we needed to get these guys back. And ultimately every game from here on out is going to be important for our seeding for the Big Sky Tournament. So that's kind of what we're focused on.
Your career has been so fun to follow, Bodie, but it's got to be, you're breaking all, you're cracking all these top 10 records, you're getting in there with points and everything, but you're also on, UNC's won two games at Weber State, and you've been on both of those teams. That's got to be pretty cool.
No, definitely, especially in the ways we've won both of those games. I know my sophomore year when we won, it was off of a last-second play, too, by a layup given up by them, and this year we just... Ultimately, we ended up playing a little bit better, but going into overtime with them and just knowing that it was a close game, it's just a lot of fun to be a part of.
You were everywhere. You had 15 boards in that Weber State game, critical blocks. I mean, you're coming up with blocks now left and right, and I love seeing it. Matt Johnson, of course, I mean, we're calling him Matty Ice now. He's transformed. It's like, does anything rattle that guy? He's had a couple of those last-second shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt's just a great energy booster for us, and he's a really, really good basketball player. Shout out to him. He's been around the program just as long, even longer than I have. So you know that everything that I've done, he's been a part of as well. And just to see him finally be able to have the opportunities to make some big shots for us and to be the guy for us is really awesome to see. And I mean, he's stepping up and he's doing that and with big numbers. So that's just great for us.
Yeah, no question. I mean, even looking last night, 15 points. You guys were getting to the free throw line. You especially were getting to the free throw line, 7 of 10. That's such a game changer when you can get to the line. Obviously, get guys in foul trouble, but you getting that opportunity for those and one moments or even just getting some easy buckets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's mine are a little tainted just because I got to shoot some one on ones late towards the end, but definitely just winning the free throw battle as well as with these guys, the rebound battle, that was going to be huge for us. And I remember hearing one point, you know, you can't block everything out. Sometimes you hear the announcers, and I think it was 28 to 16 was our rebound count to there. Mm. So that's always a huge positive for us.
Yeah, no question. How much do you pay attention to that stuff when you do?
Not much. I do catch it sometimes.
What's going on over there, man?
Most of the time, it's when I hear President Feinstein shooting the disc golf at half court. It's about all I usually hear.
Gotta love that, man. This race is tight. The next game coming up on Thursday. Again, still a few more opportunities to see this Bears team here in Greeley. Eastern Washington. That's why it's interesting because they're sitting at 8-8 in the conference. Getting top five, that's first and foremost at this stage. Obviously, there's still big goals in mind for you guys, but getting in that top five, getting that first round bye, especially with your crazy schedule, I know is critical for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you look forward to this EWASH game, you can tell that they're a really, really good group of guys, and they have some really, really good kids on their team. They just haven't had a lot of the games go the way that they should have. So we can't really half step with them. I mean, they've like you said, they're 8-8 and and they have every opportunity to win pretty much every game that they've lost. So for us to go out there and just know that we have to play our best basketball is what we're going to focus on.
Yeah, and I think that would almost, I'm not sure if mathematically it would do it, but that would almost lock you guys up in that top five spot. Now, just looking at the standings the rest of the way through, huge road games at the end. Obviously, we know we got Idaho on Saturday, but then at Montana State. Who knows how things are going to work out, but Montana State currently sitting at 13-3, first place. But they have some big games. They have Montana, Southern Utah, and you guys coming up.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's the best part of being a college athlete is getting to play those important games last. And Montana and Montana State are both at the top of the standings, and just knowing that we get an opportunity to play them first. And even if worse comes to worse and we lose one or two of those games, we know what we can do to win those games in the tournament based off of that. So it's really nice to see.
Is there a fine line for you guys right now? I was thinking about this with Coach Smiley and the coaching staff and how they're organizing practices and everything. Because on one hand, you want to push as hard as you can for that top five, move up in the standings, better spot in the tournament, maybe even win the regular season. But also, you don't want to get to the point where you've exhausted yourselves both mentally and physically by the time the tournament rolls around.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Smiley does a great job of knowing when to rest us and when we are able to be pushed a little bit. I think ultimately our practices are scaled back. We aren't doing as much grunt work and as much pounding on the body, but more mental stuff and executing things so that we don't mess up plays and we don't mess up scout mistakes on defense and stuff like that.
Yeah, what's the practice schedule been like? I was listening to Coach Smiley today. Did he give you kind of one of those days off kind of deals, or how'd that go?
Yeah, we did get a day off today just because, we've been on a bus for 5+ hours and on a plane ride for 2 separate plane rides since the weekend. So for us to have a day off today is just really big for us. And then tomorrow we have a practice where we go over Ewash's stuff. We have individual work with ourselves as well as teamwork where we're executing our plays, and then we watch personnel on Ewash, and then we get ready to be Ewash. So that's kind of how it goes.
That's where you want to be. You want to be at this point where you're stringing together some wins. Like we said, still a very realistic possibility that you guys can win the regular season title. Do you talk about that? Or is it just at this stage, dude, it's one game at a time. We got to survive each and every game.
I think if you asked everyone on an individual level, they would all know where we're at and know what we can do. I think what we're preaching, oh, I know what we're preaching is that it's one game at a time and we have to approach it one game at a time, because I think a lot of times, especially even me, we all start to look ahead. And I think that might have been what the Idaho State game happened at Idaho State, is we just started looking ahead and overlooked a team. So really, we're focused on one team at a time.
It's hard, and it sounds cliche, but these conferences are so tough that even teams like Idaho State, they're able to compete and they're able to put up those crazy games against teams. That's, you know, these conferences, you guys get to know each other so well. You see it this time of year. You know, sometimes the teams at the bottom or in the middle are pulling off upsets left and right. It's pretty common in college basketball.
Yep, no, absolutely. Especially for our conference. Every team has one or two or even three guys that are really, really good for them, and on any given night anyone can win, which is kind of crazy. I know, like, I hear all these people that talk about mid-major sports gambling, and it's like, dude, I would stay out of that. There's too many ups and downs in mid-major sports for it to be even remotely good to gamble with.
You're exactly right, man. I mean, just looking at these conferences, every single conference, the game, if guys are favored to win by, like, 9 points, I'm thinking that's ends up going to overtime,
yep,
or something.
Exactly.
Or upset city just constantly happens. And this is the time of year for that especially, right?
Absolutely. Especially everyone's really trying to be playing their best basketball going into their tournament. So that's kind of what everyone's focusing on.
Bodie Human Studio, of course. Cables is an amazing restaurant. They're a big time supporter of all things UNC basketball as well. That might be a perfect idea for you, man, to relax a little bit. Just get over to
right.
Cables and just kind of have one of those. I mean, the menu's it's so great. Everything on that menu is delicious.
Yeah. No, for sure. Shout out to them. They've been great supporters of me and ultimately the whole Bears team. They've talked basketball with us for a long time.
They've fed basketball players for quite some time, man.
Longer.
I mean, that's great. And so it's Bodie Hume approved. It's UNC basketball approved, more importantly,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Bodie, I got to ask you some off UNC Bears questions here. CSU up north, of course, football team. They're doing something, and I wanted to see how unique you think this is. They are doing open tryouts next Friday. Obviously, you got to be going to CSU, but open tryouts for walk-on opportunity. Is that... I mean, I know that you're on the basketball side of it, but is that rare in your mind? Is this something that's common?
Nah, definitely. I don't think I've ever seen UNC do it. I'm sure there's some programs that need to have a certain amount of guys that they can't necessarily reach. I just don't know. I see it as something rare and unique for CSU to try, and who knows? Maybe it'll work out for them. I mean, you never know with some people. There's always diamonds in the rough. Huh?
Maybe you find somebody out there that just didn't quite think they had it, or different circumstances. Who knows? Hey, it doesn't hurt. It's probably not bad PR either.
No, absolutely not. It can only be good.
Speaking of that, you and I were talking too about Trey McBride a little bit. You guys played against each other forever, and you're pretty tight with the guy.
Yeah, no, he's. I think I can call him my friend. I don't know what he thinks, but no, definitely I've grown up with him. He can tell you stories where I've scored baskets for his team in basketball. So. No, he's a good dude, and I'm really excited for him and what his future holds. And it's really cool to see what he's been able to accomplish at CSU, as well as that Reese's All-American game and all sorts of stuff like that.
You think he'll go number in the first round?
I hope so, man. It's nice to see not necessarily a small town, but a smaller town guy that has worked his way up so hard to be able to have that opportunity. I only hope it goes well for him.
I love when Colorado kids do great things. You're one of those guys. I really love it when the area Colorado kids do it. I mean, I've talked to you about it. I mean, you'll see on the wall, you were our football player of, I think you were football and basketball player of the year. You were football player of the week several times in high school. And that's what's so fun for us, is to be able to watch those high school games and to literally see you grow up and play at the Division I level. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah, and it's been a crazy experience. I went and watched Sterling basketball play two weeks ago, I think, and I'm sitting there like, man, if I would have known half the stuff that I know now, basketball wouldn't have been fair. You know, like playing some of these kids, it just would have been so much fun to be a part of teams like that and have the skill that I do now, or the mindset and the ability to do what I do now. It would be crazy to be a part of.
That's how much you learn from all these great coaches.
Absolutely.
And obviously a wonderful coaching staff now. I think sky's the limit for Steve Smiley. We were just talking about your old coach, Jeff Linder. Do you think he's long for Wyoming, man? I mean, 2 years, and they did crack the top 25 once. They're probably going dancing. We'll see. There's still work to be done. But what do you think, man? Is Jeff Linder going to be around this area much longer?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I definitely think that he's done a great thing with that program. I mean, we beat them my freshman and sophomore year, and ultimately he came there and he started turning that program around like that. And it's really crazy to see what he can do, as well as him and his coaching staff. And he just morphs into a team so well, and it's really cool to watch him and the Wyoming Cowboys this year.
Really love a lot of these coaches throughout the area, man. I mean, they all get it. They're great at marketing their teams, and obviously you know this more than anybody, but you know two of them that we talk about, Smiley and Linder. They know their stuff. You just said it, man. I mean, if I would have known all this stuff that I've learned through playing and through these coaching staff, man, skies would have been the limit. But that's got to be great to have two great basketball minds that you've been with the last few years.
Absolutely, and I think not only have two great basketball minds, but two great basketball minds that have worked together for so long that they have similar interests and similar takes on the game. Smiley and Linder have pretty much the same offenses, and that was great for me to adjust to. And Smiley does a great job of planning well offensively, and he's really defensively minded, which has been great for us and ultimately helped us grow defensively as well.
Yeah, no question about it, man. You guys are so many Bears are so fun to watch. It's cool to see, you know, coaches that move on and go do great things too, because ultimately that's still good for the University of Northern Colorado. Four games remaining on this regular season, man, and we know they're all big at this stage, because at this point, it's about setting yourselves up for the best possible spot in the Big Sky Conference tournament. I know you have big goals, and they start again. They've been rocking and rolling all season, but then it's like a clean slate. Now you just look forward to Eastern Washington.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just like I said, one game at a time, and focusing on the best effort of it.
All right, my friend. Bodie, we'll let you get out of here, man. Get some rest, all right?
Yes.
Stop by Cables.
Yes.
Tell the gang we said hi, and just relax, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week, okay?
All right, perfect. Thank you very much.
All right, man. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we will switch gears. We'll get Mike Brohard from CSURams.com on the program, so we'll look forward to catching up with Mike in just a moment. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Pretty good, huh? It's all right. Some of the cool things that I can do. A little air guitar action. Not a big deal. We don't have Mike Brohard. He is he's too busy right now. I don't know. We can't get a hold of him. I haven't had a chance to catch my breath because it's been a three-guest Tuesday. Love that. Three-guest Tuesday. We thought it was going to be four. We'll give Mike a hard time at some point, I'm sure. But I haven't even got a chance to talk about Aaron Rodgers' big thing. He put out on Instagram... Where is it? Do I need to read it? You guys have read it, right? Do we need to go through it? It's just a heartfelt thing where he's talking about how the people that he should thank and all that. And, you know, he's got pictures posted and stuff of his team, of his teammates and all the people that helped him. And like he posted a lot of these pictures that people are like, is he getting sentimental here? Is he about ready to be done? What's it look like? I mean, again, I have it in front of me. He's just a giant thank you list. Well, then he gets on his weekly show at 11 o'clock, which, again, people do your research. He's on weekly anyway. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to be on the Pat McAfee show at 11 o'clock. Big announcement coming up. And I'm just thinking, dude, they do the Aaron Rodgers segment every Tuesday. So does that necessarily mean that they're going to that he's going to make the big announcement? No, and he didn't. He actually did not make the big announcement. So who knows when that's going to happen? I still don't think it's going to happen, but I've been wrong once before, I think. Although Mike Brohard might disagree. Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. Mike, my friend, good to catch up with you.
You were wrong because you liked The Rock on the Super Bowl.
You're still there. You're never going to let me live that one down, man.
Well, if you're only saying you were wrong once, but it was twice, I have to point out the second.
Well, apparently I'm wrong for asking this question, Mike. Our poll question today, and Rams fans are lighting me up today. I just asked, are your expectations to go to a bowl game next football season? And Rams fans are like, obviously, yes, Brady, we are winning six wins. I didn't think it was that crazy of a question to ask today.
No, I mean, that's a legitimate question. I mean, you got a new coaching staff coming in. There's obviously a ton of excitement, and I think what the fan base is so fired up about is after watching 2 years of that offense, you now got a guy that's going to come in, he's aggressive, he's going to throw the ball all over the place, and people like that, and our fan base likes that because that's what they got used to seeing with, you know, Rashard Higgins and Garrett Grayson, and then you had Nick Stevens and whoever he was throwing to, be it Preston Williams or Michael Gallup. You had all those things going on for you, you know, so that's what they like to see. We were wide receiver U for a while when you look at the progression of wide receivers that came through, and I think they see that coming back. You see 30 points a game on the board, and so, yeah, they're excited.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's certainly hype. Everybody you talk to is certainly excited. I don't think I've talked to one Rams fan that's like, I don't think this is going to work out. I mean, everybody is so enthusiastic about Jay Norvell and this coaching staff. Mike, tell us a little bit about the walk-on tryouts. Is that next Friday, 7 o'clock in the morning? Got to be CSU. Got to be going to CSU. Is this a common thing in college football?
You know, it's more common than you think. I think if you go back and if you remember, when Jim McElwain came in here, they were like woefully short of offensive linemen. And the way that he liked to practice, he liked to basically go four set. So he wanted 20 offensive linemen in camp. So you had five. You know, they would just run a series of plays, one behind the other, one behind the other. And the groups would take turns. So, yeah, there are certain positions where they feel like they're kind of short staffed. You know, like where there isn't roster balance. And so they want to get up to that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's pretty common. Now, are these guys going to be people that hang around forever and ever? It's, you know, probably less than 50-50. I mean, I know McLean found a couple guys that he kept around for a while because he thought they had some talent. But, yeah, I mean, they want to get through spring practice without, you know, wearing down who they've got on roster. And then if you get lucky, you find a couple guys that can fill in some spots.
I think it sounds like fun. Now, is this open to the public at all, or is this a closed tryout?
No, I haven't delved into it that closely about what they're doing. I mean, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I doubt people are clamoring to grab their, you know, bring your breakfast bagel and their coffee to watch just guys, random guys on campus show up to try to earn a spot. But I would doubt it's open to the public, to be honest with you, just from the nature of it. But I really don't know. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Now, they're going to run them through some drills. Strength and conditioning staff will be out there. You got to check and make sure that even if a guy looks the part, you know, can he actually make it through a practice? Is he physically fit enough to make it through a practice? Does he have the body type to actually, you know, be what they need him to be?
Maybe you could pull some strings for me, Mike. I would get up that early. I would love to come out and check it out. I think it'd be a blast.
What position do you want to try for?
Oh my gosh. What's the one? Maybe a punter. You know, I know I have some big shoes to fill, but I wouldn't. I don't know that I'd get hurt as easily as the rest of the positions.
Probably, yeah. That's probably a good. You'll take less shots for that.
I mean, again, I don't know that I would come close to Stonehouse, but you know, I just want to try one or two punts, man. That's it. Just give me a shot.
But you got to remember what most people I don't think realize is Stonehouse was actually one of the better athletes on the team. Stonehouse in strength and conditioning actually worked with the elite group.
Wow. In the weight room. Is that something? It does seem like you're seeing more and more punters and kickers kind of jacked too, even at the college level. I wonder if that's something where they're like, you know what, we're tired of getting a bad rap. We're athletes too. We're not just punters, so they want to show it off a little more.
You know, if you think about it though. What we've noticed, like when you go back and you think of our all-time great athletes and then the current day athletes, the one big noticeable difference we all see is they're bigger, stronger, faster than they ever were before. You know, you've got some outliers. I think Mickey Mantle was a genetic, you know, kind of freak back in his day, back in the 60s. But you have guys like that. That's more common. You see that body type here and there. And it's because of the weight room. And the weight room makes you better in so many different things. And conditioning makes you so better in so many different things. You're not going to get a picture of Lynn Dawson sucking down a Fresca and throwing down a cigarette in the locker room at halftime in the Super Bowl anymore, you know? The better, you know, the bigger and the stronger you are, the more quick twitch you have, things like that. It's no longer just a natural, relying on natural ability in some of these positions like it was. It's, you know, can you strike the ball? Can you make that ball sound coming off your foot like a Hayden Hunt and a Ryan Stonehouse did? There's some strength to that. And it's leg lift and it's all these good things. So, yeah, I think you've got athletes that are, even in those positions where, you know, you feel like they're the outliers on the football team, they're working to become the best that they can be because they can make a difference.
We're talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Big game tomorrow. Absolutely huge. Colorado State, Wyoming going at it. I'm pretty pumped. I think I told you this. I got my tickets. I had to do it on air last week because I kept seeing all the tweets that were like, tickets are getting sold out. We wanted to get my father-in-law to a game. And because he went to both Colorado State and Wyoming, he'll be wearing white. Don't worry, Mike. But we clicked purchase, refreshed again, sold out. So I think people are pretty excited about this one.
Yeah, people are excited about this one. And the last game up in Laramie was a great game. This is a very important game for both teams right now as you're coming down the stretch. There's three games left in the tournament. And it's not just where you want to finish in the standings. It's how you want to finish out the regular season. And go into the tournament. You want to be on an upswing. And when you get a rivalry game, this is a great way to kick off those final three games. You got two of them at home, and they're two tough games. These last three games are all tough games for them. You come out of here 1-3, you got to feel great going into the Mountain West tournament.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, where are we with this team right now, Mike? Obviously, UNLV, that's a team that just has the Rams number, losing to them 72-51. That's one of those you got to chalk up as just one of those terrible nights. But that being said, what does it look like as far as for Rams fans to feel comfortable about March Madness here? Do you still need to finish the season at like 2-1 here these last three games, or what are your thoughts there?
I guess I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at it more in how are they playing, because you can play really well this day in college basketball and lose a game. And even though you don't want to lose a game, you can still feel good about what you did. And these are the type of games where you can still play really, really well and still lose. I mean, I think that's the way you would look at it at the Wyoming game. Wyoming made a couple more plays up in there than CSU did, and that's why the outcome was what it was. Same thing can happen here, but I don't think even if Wyoming would have lost that game, they would have said, oh, God, we played terrible. No, it was a great college basketball game, and somebody has to lose it. That's the way you do it every night. You just don't do ties. So they've gone for that, too. But anyhow, I mean, you sit there and you look at it. Yeah, I don't know if you look at it as a coach and go, if we're 2-1, I'm going to feel good about that. No, you just want to be playing really well heading into the tournament, but you definitely don't want to be an 0-3 or 1-2 coming out of it. But, I mean, these are three games the Rams can win, but they're also going to be challenging each and every one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This Mountain West Conference obviously is so entertaining, Mike. Tonight's a big one in the conference. You have Boise State and San Diego State going at it. So obviously Rams fans, Wyoming fans, they're going to be paying close attention to this one tonight.
Yeah, a lot of teams are and a lot of people are, because you sit there and you look at it, the three teams that we're going to play, they're all in the conversation for the NCAA tournament. And most people seem to believe that three teams from the Mountain West are pretty much sure to get in, and that would be us in Wyoming and Boise State. And then you're looking at Utah State and San Diego State as teams that have to play their way in. So we've got two of those teams. You know, we've got Utah State. They're really looking like they've got to play really well down the stretch, and they've got to play well in the tournament. And so everybody's kind of on hyper-intensive behavior right now, because you really want to play well, and you have to be at your best right now, because if you're on the bubble, or if you're even still a 12 or 13 seed looking kind of team, you want to play your best because people are watching.
No doubt about it. It's heating up, man. These last few games for every team, so much riding on each and every game. That's what you love. That's what you love as a fan. Mike, what are you working on for us that we can check out well before the game tomorrow night?
Right now, we're working on stuff we've got the Mountain West Indoor Track and Field Championship. So I'm working on a feature on Lexi Keller, who just broke the pentathlon school record here, and kind of what the process it is a multi, keyword being patience, throughout a year and even throughout a career. And then I'm finally got to sit down and talk to Jane Orwell yesterday about Jordan Simmons. So I'll have a story out this week about, you know, what Jordan Simmons is like as a strength and conditioning coach, and why he's so important and why he was such an important hire for Jet.
I love those pieces, too. They really give us that inner glance there of Colorado State and the inner workings. Mike, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up. I'll probably see you tomorrow at some point. I'll wave.
I will be there, so, you know, and tell it's your father-in-law, right?
Yep, yes, sir.
He needs to cheer for the right team, or we will not be invited. We might not invite you back.
All right.
Pressure.
And that would also hurt my tryout chances next Friday, too. So I will certainly be sitting down and giving him the talk.
Yeah, probably will. So, if you want that button job, you're going to have to work for it.
All right, my friend. Appreciate you as always. And I'm excited for this game tomorrow night.
Should be. All right. You take care. Get some rest. You're going to need it.
All right, my friend. That's Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I think I have to be a CSU student. But Mike can pull some strings. He might talk to Jay Norvell for me and be like, hey, I got a guy that thinks he can do something here. Who knows? Crazy. I'd be curious to, like, is there any, if Rams fans, if you know anybody that's going to CSU right now and that's going to participate in this tryout, I would love to talk to him. I want to go. I will get up that early and go watch it. I think it'd be a blast. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
We just went to a five interview. Five interview Tuesday.
You had to one-up me. I had four on NoCo Now today, so you just had to one-up me here. I see. It's always a competition.
Is this really an interview, though? Can we count this as an interview?
This is the most expert advice and insight you're ever going to get.
Okay, I love you because you're like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to make
too,
this discussion.
It feels really good to hear you.
I'm going to go out of the Pat McAfee show and I'm going to announce that I'm coming to Denver. He's on the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday.
It kind of felt like the Instagram post was leading up to it last night.
You guys
then
are just
Then he's coming
grasping.
On the Pat McAfee show. And then the GM for the Packers has an interview, a press conference set up for tomorrow.
That's to announce that Aaron Rodgers ain't going nowhere.
The timeline kind of just set it up. You know, and I saw you said Chris's text there saying that you need to talk
Bring
me off
Tanner
the ledge.
Off the ledge. I'm afraid he might trade some of his loved ones to get Rodgers.
I've got a couple of cousins that I would probably trade. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But look, I'm starting to get the sentiment too. And I will say it here. As much as I would love Aaron Rodgers, and I still think there's a chance, I'm starting to get the sentiment that he might be retiring. That's kind of where I'm starting. I don't think he'll run it back next year. He's either going to retire or be a Denver Bronco.
Okay, so you said if Rodgers comes to be a Bronco, you're never going to let me live it down. It's going to be a miserable 2 weeks. Is the same true when he doesn't come and I'm never going to let you down?
Oh, yeah, I already expect that. I completely expect that.
I'll say that there was zero chance ever in my mind that it was going to happen, so I don't feel like it's that much of a leap that I made, although it seems like Denver media would disagree with me.
Right.
But I've never felt that it's going to be Rodgers. In fact, I think I'm the only one in Colorado saying I would not be shocked at all if it's Drew Lock next year.
No, I think you are the only one saying that, and I think that's what—that's a harsh reality that we don't want to face right now, that it very well could be Drew Lock running it back next year. That's going to be so difficult. If we have to sit through another season of Drew Lock, it's going to be difficult for me to tune in. I mean, I don't think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he will be a good quarterback, even in this system. But I would have to say, probability-wise, I'd say you've got a higher probability of being right. You know, you got to live on the edge every once in a while.
Eastside Chris, you said you watched the Broncos. They had a press conference today for the coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if anything – I haven't got a chance to check it out. But I'd be curious to see what the offensive coordinator has to say about Drew Lock, because I'm sure that question did come up.
I'm not sure which coach it was, but I did see some comments coming out of there saying, you know, I think Drew Lock has a very good arm. I liked what he's done with his feet. I'm interested to see what he does in our system. So that was one of the responses that came out of there. But probability-wise, you probably got a better shot at being right than I am. But I'm going bigger. I'm going home.
Noob says, so when is Nick Wright joining the show? I told him to have his people call my people, but I am my people. Nick Wright, of course.
He's a moron.
All after Joker again. He knows it gets a rise out of us, though. So he's digging in. They didn't like his all-star performance, thought it was embarrassing. I'm like, dude,
he got a triple-double in the little limited time he was in.
He's got to play less minutes than the rest of the starters. Joker is a sound basketball player that doesn't know how to not play basketball the right way.
Yeah.
All these other Steph Curry, I know he was MVP, I know he's shooting all over,
threes, yeah.
But that's not basketball the right way. That's not how you play it.
No.
Now, he went and took a lot of shots and he made them, good for him. But Joker, he's a bad guy because he does not know how to change his game for the All-Star game.
And the All-Star game's garbage anyways. I mean, it's absolutely garbage. I think as Nuggets fans, we need to be okay with the fact that he didn't get a ton of minutes because he's been playing so much this first half of the season that if he plays extra minutes in the All-Star game and then all of a sudden he's still tired and a little bit lagged when he gets back in and things get going this Thursday for the Nuggets, I think that's an issue. I think Nuggets fans should be happy that he maybe didn't get as many minutes. But Nick Wright is a complete total moron.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about that.
Hey!
I'll give you that one.
We agree
All
on
right,
something.
All right, Tanner Schwint, NoCo Now airs every single weekday, 9 to 11. What do you got in store for us on a Wednesday?
I got Mark Knutson, former Major League pitcher, author of The Inside Pitch, coming on. We're going to break down this MLB lockout. I know you were kind of getting into that, but we're going to break it down and say, Mark's been saying he thinks it's going to be the end of February when it gets done. Well, guess what? It's the end of February, and Major League Baseball is seriously screwing up whatever momentum they had going on. They had serious momentum going on, but we'll talk with Mark about that tomorrow.
48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and we'll get to what's on TV tonight. Huge night in the Mountain West Conference, so we'll talk about that next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
WPTV Time to legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I didn't really get to this as much, but how are you going to tell me that Anthony Davis is top 75 NBA players of all time, but Alex English isn't? Get out of here with that, man. That is just awful. How is Alex English not a top 75 basketball player? I mean, Damian Lillard and Anthony Davis are? Like, what has Lillard done? What is Davis, okay, they won the title when they joined forces in the bubble with the Lakers, but Alex English was in the playoffs all the time in the 80s, and he took his team to a Western Conference Finals. It's a hard thing to do for the Nuggets. I think when the Nuggets make the Western Conference Finals, it is astonishing because they are a smaller market in the NBA. So what are we talking about here? That's ridiculous. So I will get into that more tomorrow. I'll give you chances to sign up for our bracket challenge, our whole show bracket challenge for your chance to win $500. Also, going to give some Nuggets tickets away tomorrow, some Bears tickets away. We're going to give stuff away. It's going to be a lot of fun. Noob says, yeah, but Drew Lock isn't an all-state quarterback from Colorado, so Tanner, you got this. Good. I'm glad we could get Tanner's all-state quarterback thing mentioned at least once on this show today. That's going to do it for us. We got a special edition of Nick's Knacks coming up from 477 Distilling in downtown Greeley. He's going to be live at 2 o'clock, so tune in. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.